It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And on the website, we have the podcasts and recaps of our past shows. However, we are doing an upgrade. We're moving our web hosting. And so if for some reason you cannot find a show that you want, just email us and we will get that to you. It always takes longer to do these things, Producer Steve, than you think it will.
The best laid plans of mice and men, but there's always the time factor.
There's always the time factor. So thank you to each and every one of you for joining us today. Today, live with intention, strive for excellence. You have a purpose. And take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were born for this time, and it is a very interesting time in history. I really appreciate the team I work with. That's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. For some reason, it's Thursday, but it feels like Friday to me, Steve. So I am going to show up tomorrow, though.
Well, yeah, okay, that would be nice. But the week is flying by, as it always does. It always seems to get off to a slow start. Monday kind of drags into Tuesday, and next thing you know, you're looking at Friday.
It is amazing. And I also want to say thank you to each and every one of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the airwaves. As you know, we strive to look at these issues through looking for truth and clarity on these and helping you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage with your friends, your family, and your colleagues. Very excited about a couple of things this weekend, Steve. First of all, our America's Veterans Stories with Kim Monson, which airs from 3 to 4 on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. We're continuing this series that we're doing based on the 10 Vietnam veterans that contributed a chapter to the book Echoes of Our War. And we'll be talking with Gary Eichler and Bill Purcells this week. And there's also an Echoes Challenge that we have going on. If the person that contributes the most during this book promotion that we're doing will actually receive a signed hardback copy of that book signed by all of the authors. And then we also are going to an event this Saturday. Check it out at, I think it's USMCMemorialFoundation.org. And they're having a fundraiser, an afternoon with the general, with General Bill Mullen, who was our guest last week. I'm very excited, and you're going to go with me.
Yes, we are looking forward to that. We got another jam-packed weekend, but that's definitely going to be one of the high points. Hey, can you dare take 20 to 30 seconds to promote or preview the next week? Because that really is significant.
Okay, the next week will be on April 18th, and that is the anniversary of the Doolittle Raid in World War II. And so it was December 7th, 1941 was the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. And to have an attack on American soil like that was just astonishing. And to true American creativity, innovation, and spirit, Jimmy Doolittle, they had some heavy bombers that they went to work on, and they actually flew those off aircraft carriers in the Pacific so that they could hit Tokyo. And it's a remarkable story of all those guys. Well, I will have Jimmy Doolittle's granddaughter. We're going to be talking with her about that. And it will be an amazing interview. So that will be on the 18th, right, Steve? Am I looking at those dates correct?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, what happened there in the original on the event itself was not seen as so much as a strategic blow to the Japanese, but it was seen as a morale booster, the fact that we could strike back.
Well, it was a morale booster for us. And it actually broke some of the morale of the Japanese. They thought they were infallible. And to actually have an attack Japan was a really big deal. Not all the guys that flew those bombers made it back. They were trying to get to China. It's a remarkable story, so you won't want to miss that. It's really fascinating. And these shows come to you because of your support, these great partners that I have. And one of the great partners that sponsors both of the shows is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. They have Saturday specials, and they have Kids Eat Free specials. So it's a great place to take the kids, watch the games, get together with friends. We're coming into the nice weather. Go to my website, kimmunson.com, and click on my sponsors tab. I recommend all of them there. And click on Hooters, and it'll give you all of their specials at this time. And so be sure and check that out. Great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Karen Levine. You know her. She's a RE/MAX award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And then we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment. And third and fourth segment, Dr. James Lyons Weiler. He is a scientist with the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. I wanted to get his read on the vaccine program and also the vaccine passports that seem to be rattling around a bit out there. My friends, you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people. If it's a bad idea, then what many times happens is you will try to censor anybody to come out and address that, put that under scrutiny. And that means it probably can't really pass the muster of a good idea. Then that's where you see force. And my gosh, Steve, we see a lot of force going on around here right now.
It's become the rule of the day after when you start looking around under bushes and places like that, there's force everywhere.
And many of the words could be regulation, requirement. Those are some of those key words that you can see.
You're good at finding those kind of things. We look at these bill of the day things and whatnot, and I kind of just blast right past words like that. But you pick them up,
mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, the requirement and whatever other buzzwords they can put out there. I mean, they're good at it. They use the word fee instead of tax. Well, you know, if it comes out of the
citizen's
pocket, who cares what you call it?
It's the same thing. I wanted to go to our quote. And I know you may be a little surprised, my friends, at who I chose today, and that is Joseph Goebbels. He was a German Nazi politician and Reich Minister of Propaganda in Germany from 1933 to 1945. He was one of Hitler's closest and most devoted associates and was known for his skills in public speaking and his deeply virulent anti-Semitism, which was evident in his publicly voiced views. He was born in 1897. He died in 1945. And this is what he said. I was going to say, we won't say anything about that, but actually I know Steve probably has a comment on that. This is what Joseph Goebbels said, and this is Hitler's head of propaganda. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it, and you will even come to believe it yourself.
Is that not the rule of the day here and now? I mean, people who are barely paying attention, if they're paying attention at all, they'll catch a little snippet of something, and they'll take it to the bank, and then they hear it repeated somewhere else,
repeated,
and sure enough,
repeated.
There it is.
But that's why our show yesterday with Cheryl Atkinson was so important in regarding her book, Slanted, is we have voices out here that are challenging these narratives, and that is why these independent voices are so important. I did want to just mention the bill of the day. It's Senate Bill 21-116, prohibiting the American Indian mascot. And this is the language, the bill summary. It says, the bill prohibits the use of American Indian mascots by public schools, including charter and institute charter schools and public institutions of higher education, as of June 1, 2022. The bill imposes a fine of $25,000 per month for each month that a school continues to use a mascot after such date, payable to the state education fund. It does carve out. I'm very familiar with Arapaho High School, and they have a relationship with the Arapaho Nation, and they will send kids back and forth, and they're very, very respectful of their mascot. And quite frankly, I think most schools are very respectful of their mascot. And this is being sponsored by Senator Danielson and Representatives Benavides and McLaughlin. And this looks to me like a piece of legislation looking for a problem that they think that they want to solve. But this goes into their narrative of trying to divide people. But I know people that have gone to different schools, and their Native American mascot was one of pride. It was not one of bigotry or anything like that. It was one of pride. And so, once again, first of all, I think they're trying to divide us. They're trying to create a problem that isn't really there. These Indian mascots typically are sources of pride. And when you look at what has happened to our state, where people are out of jobs, where people are looking for homes, where we're having so much going on, and this is what they're spending their time on, I think we need to really think about this when we go to the ballot box, and that's Senator Danielson, Representatives Benavides and McLaughlin.
You're stealing my thunder.
Okay.
Because I was just going to say the thing in different words. In terms of what occupies their time in the House and the Senate, if they had 1,000 items to look at, this would be number 999. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and think about the cost. And think about this: what this does to these schools, these traditions of years and years and years that they've had, and changing those traditions. So anyway, it seems like there should be some other things that they really should be doing down there. But we're in the spring selling season for the real estate market, and Colorado is still, it's pretty tight, and the prices are going up. And our expert on all of the things that are happening in the metro real estate market is one of my great partners, and she sponsors both the shows as well, America's Veteran Stories and the Kim Munson Show, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Kim.
And what is going on? What are you seeing this week in the housing market?
Well, what we're seeing is what we would expect, which is exciting, is that homes are coming on the market, and homes are continuing to sell quickly.
Okay.
And it is a robust spring selling season. It is a challenge for buyers, and that's what we've been talking about, that buyers need to make sure that they have a representative on their side that knows how to navigate this very competitive marketplace and has lots of tools in their tool belt to bring to the buyer to make them successful in their home buying experience. And I am that person, and we've been successful, and we are being successful. And it's just a matter of making sure that the buyer is educated and knows how to deal with the competition.
Well, definitely, and it is really competitive. What about on the piece that Patty found from the Business Journal was that the median single-family home price is reaching about $560,000 here, and that makes it difficult for people trying to find their starter home. How's that working out, Karen?
It is difficult, and anything below $500,000 is incredibly competitive, but it's also very difficult above that price range because of the number or lack of number of homes on the market. The thing that is keeping buyers in the marketplace and their ability to buy are the low interest rates, which I'm sure your other sponsor, Lauren Levy, have discussed. And that's helped affordability. And I think we just need to be reminded of basic economics 101, that when you have low supply and high demand, the price is going to go up.
Right.
And I think what's very critical, Kim, is that in solving, quote-unquote, the housing problem, we don't start artificially doing things to create inventory, which is whether that's through fees, whether that's through incentives, but that we continue to allow the market to play out. And we know that a free market, a capital market, is the best thing for the consumer. And we need more properties to come on the market, and we have so much public policy in the way, whether that's zoning, whether that's fees, whether that's regulations, et cetera, that have kept home builders and developers from being able to build in our marketplace. Mm-hmm. And that's a nationwide problem.
And with you being on the National Association Board of Realtors board, I know that you're working on that. I think it's been both for you and I, it's been a journey to figure out just what public policy has done to private property rights and home ownership. But Karen, I know that you are working diligently to protect that. I so appreciate that.
Thank you. And yes, we will continue to do so. We won't physically go there, but we will be in meetings in Washington, D.C. in May. And I'm excited to hear what our board of directors and leadership have on their plates for us to discuss and hopefully create a little bit more affordability in our marketplaces nationwide and particularly here along the Front Range.
Okay. Hey, Karen Levine, if people want to reach you, what is your phone number?
The best way to reach me is 303-877-7516.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much. I think you're going to be in studio maybe next week.
Yes, and we have an idea floating out there about affordability of homes, and so I think it might be a fun discussion.
Aha, so stay tuned on that. Karen Levine, you have a great day. I'll talk to you next week.
All righty, bye-bye.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio is on the line, and we have a very timely question that she and I were talking about. She said, nobody else is talking about this. Dr. Jill Vecchio is, and we'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for your partnership, your sponsorship, and contributing to keep this show on the air, because we are searching for truth and clarity on these issues, looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is one of the few people in America that read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare. She is a healthcare public policy expert. And she and I were talking yesterday, and first of all, Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
You and I were chatting yesterday regarding, I have had two people that I know that actually had underlying conditions and got COVID and went to their doctor or the emergency room, and they were told to go home. They were doing what they could, rest, and there was no treatment prescribed whatsoever. And when you and I were talking about that, you're like, this is not okay.
And it's not been okay for a long time. I've had friends, and I've said many times, I go back to Iowa and South Dakota to work, and as a physician, and it's kind of rampant there. So many people have gotten it. So many people know somebody who's gotten it, been in the hospital, died. I mean, it's all over the place, whereas here I just don't know that many people that have had it. Certainly none that have gotten really sick or died. But back there, a friend got it, was in the hospital, and they asked for hydroxychloroquine. The doc wouldn't give it to him. That was before he was hospitalized. They asked for hydroxychloroquine. The doc wouldn't give it to them. Then he was hospitalized, and then I said, you need to ask for remdesivir. So she had to ask for remdesivir. They gave it to him. 12 hours later, he was at home. Yeah, I mean, that remarkable of an improvement. And it angers me that she had to ask for that for her husband. And it angers me that a doctor would not prescribe hydroxychloroquine. Let's get it straight. It is completely safe. It has been given to billions of people around the world for malaria and other, like Zika virus, yellow fever. It's been shown to help with those things. All of these third world countries that have been using hydroxychloroquine during this COVID pandemic, their numbers for COVID, because they use it prophylactically, it's an over-the-counter drug in many countries. Over-the-counter, you just walk up and buy it. Those countries have had much better COVID numbers than the supposedly, you know, the first world countries, rich nations. It's incredible what the level of misinformation and disinformation is purposely being manipulated about hydroxychloroquine. The idea is you use it prophylactically, or since this is a prolonged pandemic thing, or you use it early in your disease. If you get sick, it keeps you from getting sicker. Now, the NIH published guidelines that said, no, we're not going to recommend, we're removing our emergency approval for hydroxychloroquine to be used for COVID-19 because, and they cited it. I looked at it this morning. They cited all a couple of studies. They have a panel of people that decide this. So they cite a couple of studies that said, oh, it didn't work for severely for hospitalized patients that were critically ill. Well, that's not what hydroxychloroquine is really good for. Hydroxychloroquine is really good for, and this has been talked about for a year now, it's good very early in the disease, to keep you from getting worse. So the idea is you take hydroxychloroquine early on, and you're not going to go to the hospital. But they're completely ignoring that. They don't really address the early in the disease treatment of this. There's a great white paper, and I sent it to you and Steve, that was put out by frontline doctors, America's frontline doctors, and they list all kinds of studies. They go through all of the information. It's a 29-page white paper. So I've sent that to you if you want to put that on your website.
No, what we'll do, Jill, is we will put that in today's recap with the podcast. And people can then just, it'll be available then tomorrow. And they can just go to today's recap and it'll be there. And that'll be on the website.
Yeah, wonderful. Because, you know, and these drugs, so many, I don't know if people understand, there's on-label use and off-label use. And they've kind of talked about that a little bit. In order to get a drug approved, you want to have it, you're going to say, we're going to target this disease process or something with this new drug. And then you do all of your trials based on that disease process and the dosages of the drug, blah, blah, blah. Well, once a drug is approved, you typically don't go through all of that trial stuff again if you want to use it for another disease process. But doctors can, you know, it's called the practice of medicine. So you practice and you see, okay, wait a minute, can we use this drug for this other disease process? Maybe it'll work for that. That happens all the time. It has happened since the pharmaceutical industry began. If a pharmaceutical industry can find another use, another disease process for a drug, then that's in their best interest early on when they're making a lot of money off the drug, right, before it goes generic.
Okay.
After it goes generic, then that pharmaceutical company isn't going to make that much money from having a new use for one of their medications, because everybody who's now dispensing the medication generically will reap the benefits of it, and the price is so low that, you know, nobody's really interested in that. The key is to have new drugs, right? So it's a classic follow the money.
So like this new vaccine could be a big moneymaker.
Oh, absolutely. Well, between the vaccine, Remdesivir, Regeneron, and all those, all of the permutations and other similar medications out there that have been developed specifically for COVID.
Okay, so now quick.
Hydroxychloroquine has been around forever, over-the-counter medication. That's not what the pharmaceutical industry wants.
Okay, but the question on the table then is, I have these two friends that had gone to either the emergency room or to their doctor, and nothing was prescribed. So why is that? Because the pharmaceutical company doesn't make any money if nothing was prescribed. What's your thoughts on that?
I've had people have to ask for treatment. I have never heard of a single patient who was offered treatment initially when they showed up with symptoms. They sent home, they're miserable at home, having lots of symptoms, absolutely miserable, and they are never offered treatment.
Why?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
It is.
We're physicians, and it angers me. Now, Colorado is actually listed in this white paper as one of the states that has abused this power and is actually... the innuendo that there will be repercussions to perhaps to your license, your medical license, if you prescribe some of these medications. So in different states, they're doing that. Florida is not one of them. But at the same time, I would think you'd have a pretty good leg to stand on. But if it came to that, then you have repercussions if they threaten your license, that you can show them this other information. That being said, who knows what's going on in the country these days? You know, whether or not there's due process of justice is becoming quite questionable, which is frightening, especially from a medical standpoint, the idea that somebody who's using bad data can threaten my license, my medical license, is frightening. But that's what happens. That's what happens in socialized countries, and, you know.
Well, we're seeing that with licensing across the board. With restaurants, if you don't do this, then we're going to take your license. It's across the board. Jill, what's your final thought you want to leave with listeners this morning?
Look at this white paper. It's got a lot of great information. If you need to send it to your physician, then do it. I mean, it's always a difficult position since you're the patient. You don't want to irritate your doctor. But at the same time, doctors need to see real information. There's a lot of bad information. And what angers me is how much blood is on people's hands over not treating and not offering people prophylaxis and treatment for coronavirus and forcing so many people to suffer, forcing them to have vaccines. In other words, forcing them into a position where they feel like their only outlet is to subject themselves to a test vaccine on a worldwide level. This, to me, is absolutely criminal decision-making, criminal behavior, beyond my wildest dreams. I would never have thought that our country would be in this position, or anywhere in the world, because it's worldwide.
Yeah, me either. So, hey, Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. You have a great day, and we will talk to you very soon.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Okay, Jason McBride, that's a lot of amazing information that Dr. Jill gave us.
She's always full of many things that keep you thinking for the whole day.
That is
sometimes, and that's not always a pleasant think.
But it is an important think, for sure. What's going on over in your world?
Well, Kim, as I've been talking about, maybe sounding like a broken record, but unfortunately, I'm repeating what I'm hearing from people is, you know, folks are worried that the market is up high, but with all the stimulus that may be coming, they're kind of concerned that it might go down, so they're scared to be in it or put new money in it. But at the same time, with, like I say, all the stimulus and everything else, yeah, they're kind of scared not to have money in it because it might keep going up. And I do believe there are solutions for that problem that, you know, that help address both of those and allow people to have a little bit more comfort with being invested instead of, you know, having money sitting in the bank or sitting in a money market and earning next to nothing. I want to be clear, Kim, I don't have anything against just being in cash if people are uncomfortable. I think earning nothing is better than losing, and sometimes earning nothing is better than being invested and being scared half to death and losing sleep. But if you're somewhere in between there, again, I do believe there are some decent solutions out there that we can talk to people about.
Well, and the thing I think people need to realize is with their portfolio, it's not all or nothing. It's not all cash or all this or all that. And each person is different. They have different risk tolerances, different needs. And to sit down and assess that for your own individual economic prosperity, Jason, people should give you a call. How do they do that?
Well, thank you, Kim. Best way to get a hold of us is just give us a call, like you say, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. We are open for business. We're good for face-to-face meetings. So, you know, I always look forward to meeting new people and especially your listeners, Kim.
Well, thanks so much, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great day. great one.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, and he is an expert. He's a scientist with the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And I wanted to chat with him about the vaccine program, these vaccine passports that we're starting to hear, and, of course, just talking with Dr. Jill about the non-prescription of treatment sometimes. There's a lot going on out there, and stay tuned to hear what Dr. James Lyons-Weiler has to say.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the airways as we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And what I am seeing with a whole bunch of this vaccine stuff is force. And I support vaccines. I think that they can be very good, but I also support informed consent, not just a blanket bureaucrat telling me what I have to do about that. And that's why I wanted to talk with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. He is a scientist with the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, and we've had him on. He's a frequent guest. James, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim, and thanks for having me back again.
Now, were you the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, or just tell us a little bit about that?
Right, so IPAC is a independent research not-for-profit located in Pennsylvania. The goal of IPAC is to conduct biomedical research in the public interest without profit motive. And IPAC itself is, it's one of my contributions. I founded it. We have a board, an advisory board. We have scientists that work with us. We're independent from pharmaceutical companies, independent from the government. All of the research that we do and that we publish is peer-reviewed and is funded by donations from the public. And we don't answer to our funders in any way. No one tells us what we should find, what we should not find, what we should study, what we should not study. I mean, you know, we hang a shingle and we'll say, well, we're going to do a vax-on-vax study and we need money to do that. And then if the public wants that, they'll fund it. So to the extent that the public interest is represented, I think this is a new model for funding biomedical science, and I'm very proud of it.
And how can people, what's that website? How can people find that?
The IPAC website is ipaknowledge.org. There's not two Ks, ipaknowledge.org.
Okay. And before we get to the subjects that I had advertised we would talk about, you had mentioned you now have a peer-reviewed study on pediatric practice income from vaccines.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite related to vaccine passports. 2 years ago, three years ago, a large number of people who I've grown to know and love and create community with, Del Bigtree, Tony Bark, who's now Dr. Tony Bark, who's since passed on, unfortunately, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and so on, and a huge number of people have gone around the country or locally testifying on behalf of informed consent, because the pharmaceutical companies, the vaccine manufacturers specifically, have approached this issue of vaccination, vaccination risk awareness or vaccine risk awareness politically. They decided to fund particular politicians to try to push through vaccine legislation that would strip the rights of people to say no in the form of removing exemptions. The most egregious example of this is the bill out in California that Senator Richard Pan put through specifically to take away religious and what we call in Pennsylvania personal exemptions over the grounds that there is not enough vaccine coverage. And one of the arguments that I kept hearing over and over and over from doctors that would show up and testify on behalf of stripping away Americans' rights to say no to this medical procedure for themselves and for their children, mostly for their children until now, was that the pediatricians really don't make that much money. Pediatric practices don't make that much money from vaccines. And my co-author on the vaccine vax versus unvax study, Dr. Paul Thomas, happened to have a lot of data in his practice that we could actually access on the revenue because he did vaccinate and he did respect informed consent. So we were able to actually calculate from a month's worth of revenue from vaccinations that did occur in the practice and that were declined by patients in his practice. And from those data from 12 different insurance providers, what this publication shows is that vaccine practice payment schedules actually create perverse incentives for unnecessary medical conditions, that is, medical procedures, that is, vaccinations that are unnecessary and at a great, great benefit to pediatric practice profit. Specifically, his office, over a course of a year, declines over $1 million in revenues related to vaccines, both administrative fees and direct costs, by allowing people, as is required under Oregon state law, to say, no, we don't want to vaccinate our children, or no, we want this vaccine, but we don't want that vaccine. So Dr. Paul, like you, who's not an anti-vaxxer, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm fighting for safer vaccines. I'm convinced that we can have, you know, updated and more effective ways towards healthy immunity. But the other part of this publication is directly related to passports is, you know, at what point in time does CDC ever announce, okay, guys, we've met the quota here. We're at herd immunity either through vaccination or through infection. And there's a table in this paper that we've published, this peer-reviewed paper, that shows that you don't need 95% coverage for all the different pathogens that are on the CDC schedule. And, you know, for 2 years, I listened to pediatricians and doctors and politicians and committee members say that we have to have 95% coverage. We have to have 95% coverage for all the vaccines. And one of the important things that we found was in actually using the attribute of the pathogens, we found that some of the vaccines that are out there, the pathogens themselves, achieve herd immunity well before 95% vaccination or infection coverage. The measles is 93%. The pertussis is 93%. Chickenpox is 90%. So if we're going, if traveling around the country and looking at the numbers, say, for example, in Connecticut, they were already above 95%, and they were still trying to take away the exemption, saying that, well, we don't want it to spread. It's like, you know, you're finding a population guilty of doing something, an entire population guilty of doing something without due process, and therefore, because they might do something, we need to pass a law to take away their rights. Now, if you look at rubella, it's 84%. So it falls off very quickly after that, all the way down to hepatitis B, where in children, newborns, you need zero coverage to have herd immunity because it does not transmit between infants. Okay, hepatitis B is the first vaccine that's given in the first day of life, and it has aluminum 250 micrograms of aluminum, which my other research that's peer-reviewed shows, you know, leads to aluminum toxicity, along with other aluminum-containing vaccines. So the way that this is related, Kim, to vaccine passports is that they are not, they're not based on reason, right? So if you're going to, if you're going to require,
not much has been based on reason this last year, Dr. Weiler.
Oh no, you're exactly right, and that's why, and that's why I'm so grateful that you're, you know, helping me get this out, and other people that are working on the same problems, specifically not based on reason in the following way. What we need to hear from the CDC is how close are we towards herd immunity from infection, right? Given the estimate of the millions of people that have been infected, what percentage of immunity is already out there due to infection? And why are they saying, yes, even though you've had the vaccine, you should still, or you've already had the infection, you should still get the vaccine, when we can totally expect, we absolutely, on first principles, can expect that the immunity from infection to from coronavirus is going to be better than the immunity from the vaccine. And let me tell you why that's true. That's true because the vaccine only provides immunity to a small number of epitopes that are found on the spike protein only. Remember, it's a spike protein only study vaccine. The virus itself has over 40 different epitopes. So if you get the infection, you're likely to have broader, deeper, more sustained, longer lasting immunity. Perhaps not lifetime immunity, because coronaviruses evolve more quickly than, say, the measles. Right. So if you get the measles, you got lifelong immunity, because the measles is a DNA virus that evolves slower than the RNA viruses like the flu and coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But if you already have had coronavirus, then why in the world would they say that there's no point that yes, you should get the vaccine? And, you know, Representative Massey, I think he's from Kansas, actually called the CDC to ask him this question, looking at the data where the CDC was saying that the vaccine is over 95% effective in people that have had the virus. And he looked at the data and he said, no, your data actually shows that might be slightly negative in its efficacy. That is, people are more likely to have corona-like symptoms if they've had the virus and then get vaccinated. And now, you know, I'm also in discussions and working closely with Dr. Huma Norkazam, who has a campaign Screen Before Vaccine, where he thinks that anybody that had recently had a coronavirus infection may in fact be at risk of these weird, strange, you know, idiopathic, we call it in medicine, adverse reactions to the vaccine, including the thrombocytopenia, you know, the bleeding out, inability to create platelets, and strokes and things like that, specifically because he thinks that the recently infected may in fact have residual virus. Even though you're cured, you cured yourself with your immune system, you cleared the virus, so to speak, you still have viral proteins in the memory cells, so the antigen presenting cells specifically, his concern is you could have a long term, you know, asymptomatic infection where you're not going to spread it. You have to have symptoms to spread this thing. So nothing is based in reason. And then furthermore, yeah, when it comes to the passport, let's say you're going to travel, and an airline or someone says, no, you've got to see your passport. Papers, please, right? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that's an offense to the American psyche. It's just not going to fly. People are going to stand up in droves and refuse, no matter how badly they want to travel. I know that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of people that are going to say, no, this smells like Nazi Germany. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to show you my paper. Can't even get voter ID registration passed, right, to know that the basis of our democracy is people that have the actual right to vote showing up, casting votes, that it's the right person, and so on. Why the heck are you checking me over whether or not I had this pharmaceutical product?
Okay. Hey, so, Dr. Weiler, let's stop right there. This is such an important conversation, and it's going way too quickly. But let's go to break, and we'll come back with Dr. James Lyons Weiler, because this is so important to understand this. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners that brings this show to you and also America's Veteran Stories is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world, whether or not you're a chef, a collector, you want to impress your friends when they come over and you have a steak and they've got great steak knife sets, or a collector or a sportsman, they are the place for you. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Dr. James Lyons Weiler.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and you can contribute there as well to keep our independent voice on the airwaves. On the line with me is Dr. James Lyons Weiler. He is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And that website is, it's IPAKnowledge.com. IPAKnowledge.com.
No, Kim, I'm sorry. It's IPAKnowledge.org.
.org. Okay, dot one more org. Time. Okay. IPAKnowledge.org. And then you also mentioned, James, that you have this peer-reviewed pediatric practice income from vaccines white paper, and we will put that on the show recap that will be on the website as well. So that will appear on the website under the show recap and podcast as well. So we'll put that there so people have that link, as long as that's okay with you.
Thank you so much. That would be fantastic.
Okay, great.
So yeah, these passports themselves, Kim, are problematic because as we were speaking, they're not founded in reason. When Monsanto published the efficacy of their vaccine, they claimed that it was 94%.
Monsanto?
94.5%.
I'm sorry, who? Monsanto?
I'm sorry. I'm switching gears.
Okay.
No, sorry about that. I meant, of course, Moderna.
Okay, there you go.
So when Moderna published their efficacy statistics, Kim, they said it was 94.5% effective. But if you look closely at their statistics, they actually excluded people from their efficacy calculations who developed coronavirus after the first vaccine, but before the second. And they did not vaccinate people who had developed coronavirus after the first vaccine, but those people did not get the second dose. Now, imagine if you're running a chemotherapy trial and you excluded from the calculations on how well that chemotherapy works, everyone who died before they got the second dose of chemo. So that's a recalculation that I did and I published. And so if we have a vaccine, in my recalculation, the vaccine is not 75% effective with respect to the outcomes that they bothered to measure. They didn't measure the ability to reduce transmission. And in fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci has said repeatedly, don't expect that the vaccine is going to actually prevent transmission. Don't expect that you're going to be able to go back to normal just because you're vaccinated. You might still carry what he calls an asymptomatic asymptomatic case. You might be able to actually transmit the virus. And so passports, we don't have this vaccine that's nearly 100% effective at reducing transmission. What we have is, you know, maybe 75% effective at reducing symptoms in people who are superheroes, people that are really super healthy, because they excluded all these people that had comorbidities and so on. And, you know, 80% of the people that actually developed serious COVID-19 or died walked into the disease with autoantibodies to something else. So they already had an autoimmune prone system. Why are we not hearing from CDC and World Health Organization, the people that need the vaccine are the people who are prone to autoimmunity? Well, guess what? Those are the same people that have learned that vaccines are make their autoimmune condition worse or cause their autoimmune condition. So we have a real twisted Gordian knot here with respect to public health policy.
Well, and the question is, first of all, is it a money thing? Is that why there's been, because the conversation is, have you gotten your vaccine? I've gotten mine. I'm waiting for my second shot. That seems to be the conversation out there. Is it money? Or do they really care about people? That's why they want people to get vaccinated. Although I'm so suspect of this because I feel that the information coming from the CDC and the NIH has not been honest. And I go back to the premise of our show, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It's the same thing. If it can't stand the scrutiny of the truth, then we need to be looking at it. So we've got about 4 minutes, James, your comment on that, your final thoughts.
Well, the best way to look at this is let's say that the EPA, employees at the EPA, could patent toxic chemicals, right, and share in the profit from the use of toxic chemicals in the industries that they're supposed to regulate. There's not a person in America that can't understand that you should not be able to patent a process or a procedure that leads to toxic chemicals and pollution of the environment and then be a regulator of that process. That's exactly what's happened with the CDC. It's exactly what's happened with the NIAID, including Anthony Fauci's team. They have a serious embedded conflict of interest, and it's the closest thing. I call it American-style fascism. Yes, it's about profit. Yes, it's about money. Otherwise, they would not also dampen enthusiasm intentionally over early treatment. This is the missing piece of the puzzle. I'm an editor, a guest editor on a journal. I'm not going to tell you which journal because there will be interference from the other side who don't want reason-based science to come out. I just received a paper that was submitted for peer review. This is the third paper that I have reviewed from overseas, other countries, talking about how good hydroxychloroquine is, how good ivermectin is, how good herbal treatments from China are at reducing the viremia from coronavirus. This is why these other countries are going back to normal and we're not. We absolutely have to fight for our choice on treatments. Early treatments save lives. There's no doubt about it. Early treatments save lives. Vaccines are a bumble. They're a mess. They're a Gordian knot, and we have to have all the tools in our toolbox in terms of public health measures. Public health took over allopathy, strangled them to death for money, and now they're saying we'll save you by testing and testing and testing. The testing isn't even accurate. How can you do passports if you can't rely on the test and know that your test results actually telling you that you have COVID and that you're a risk of other people? This is ridiculous. It has to end. Thank you, Kim, for having me on the show.
Okay, well, we do still have just a couple of minutes left, and that was excellent final thought on that. So now I have another question, and that is they talk about infection rates that they are the, let's see, no, not infection rates, but test rates that they, we need to get the test results down. I may not have the right term on that, but my understanding, coronavirus is a cousin of the common cold. I drive down the street in my city. They said, hey, turn left here for a COVID test and, you know, keep everybody safe. Well, if you test more and more people, you're going to have more and more positive results on that. And then they use that to control our businesses, how much they can be open and all. And so your final thought on that, James.
Right. Well, that's true, but it's worse than you can imagine. Not only the more that you test, the more positive results you find. That's just a, that should be a linear relationship. The more you, I have a paper that's under, an analysis that's under peer review right now that shows that the way that the CDC attributes or demarcates COVID-19 from non-COVID-19 in their diagnostic and their death attribution, the more you test with PCR, the more people who are tested with PCR, the higher the false positive rate itself goes. So it's not just you're getting a linear relationship. The more you test, the more you get. You get a hyperlinear relationship, a nonlinear increase, right? Where the more you test, if you tested everybody in the population right now, you'd get all the false positives you could ever get. That's way more than a linear, which means that they have actually created what I call a Sisyphean effort. The more you push the ball up the hill, the heavier it gets. It's going to roll right back down again. You're going to have to do it over and over again. This is another key thing. Thanks for bringing it up, Kim. Testing. No one asked the question, at what point in time in coronavirus do we switch from symptom-based testing to indiscriminate testing or screening? We don't all get CT scans every year for cancer because the adverse events from getting the biopsy for cancer, right, would kill more people than would save from cancer. This is the same exact thing that's happening with coronavirus. We're destroying our society. We're destroying our economy by these shutdowns, by the quarantine, and now with passports. It can't happen.
Okay. Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, we are out of time. I think we need to get you on again next month. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. I'll be there.
Okay. Our quote for today is Joseph Goebbels, and this is what he said. He said, "This is the secret of propaganda. Those who are to be persuaded by it should be completely immersed in the ideas of the propaganda without ever noticing that they are being immersed in it." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.